so much for your hospitality in this meeting. It's hard to believe it was 9 years ago that I was here. Hopefully, won't be that long again until I can come back and be with you. Appreciate the Columbia Church, Brother Steve, Sister Denise very much. Pray the Lord be with you in all things. I'm going to turn to the book of John, Gospel according to John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. As I consider the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think about how the Apostle Paul summed his life up. He said of the life of Christ that he went about doing good. That'd be a wonderful statement to be said about anyone's life. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did was good. And everything he did was for the good of his people. As I look at his life, I wonder what good things were done to him. Elder Pittman wrote a hymn that we sing, "The Lord has been so good to me." That's a good thing to say, isn't it?
Exactly.
I think we can all admit to that, Brother Barry. I think we can say, yes, indeed, the Lord has truly been so good to me.
Amen.
He saved our soul from eternal death. Wouldn't you say that was a good thing that he's done for you?
Yeah.
If it weren't for him, life would just be oh so depressing. Wouldn't have anything to look forward to. But he died for our sins on the cross and said, "It is finished." And it still is finished.
Amen.
Amen.
And he just said, could have done that and left us here in the world to fend for ourselves. But even on top of that, he's been so good to us. He gave us the church to go to. There once was a time in my life that I used to dream about not having to go to church. It's the old preachers used to say I had a drug problem. I was drug the church all the time. I had a drug problem like that. I was drug the church and drug the school and drug to a lot of places against my will. And I remember saying when I got out on my own, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. About a week of that, I changed my mind. And now, my wish has come true. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm going to church.
Oh, thank you.
Can you imagine your life without the church? I just can't. I can't picture it. These sisters that have joined the church, I joined when I was 15 there at the church at Austin. My father baptized me. I've made a lot of bad decisions in life, but that's one decision I've never regretted.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord gave us the church to find comfort and to be where we can thank Him for what He's done for us, where we can sing and hear the gospel preached, and we can shake each other's hand, we can wash each other's feet. The song that we sing, "They're My Best Friends, My Kindred Dwell, Their God, My Savior Reigns." I'm very thankful for the church. As a matter of fact, I'm not thankful enough. But I'm so glad to come and to meet with the saints and worship Him. The Lord has blessed us even on top of the church. He's given us the gospel that we can hear the truth. There are a lot of different beliefs out there, but there's only one gospel.
Amen.
Can you believe that you have been blessed to be in a place to hear the truth preached? Isn't that amazing that God thought enough of you that He opened your eyes and your heart to understand the doctrines of salvation by grace and to believe that it wasn't anything that you did, but it was all the work of Christ. And it's all been done. It's all finished. It's all completed. And what we have to do is just to thank Him for it.
Amen.
And even if you don't, you're still one of His.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved.
Amen.
I'm glad to believe that. I'm glad that's true. I believe it.
Yes.
He gave us the gospel. He gave us the Bible to read. You know, the Bible, reading and studying the Bible is one thing you just don't ever do enough of. Have you ever reproved yourself at the end of the day? You know, I'd get a lot more done if I just stopped reading the Bible so much. Have you ever said that to you? You ever reprove yourself for praying too much? You know, I could get all this work done, but I'm doing all this praying. I've got to stop all this praying and all this studying. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? I need to pray more. I need to study more. The Lord has given us a precious gift in the Word that we could understand more about Him. And not only that, but what wonderful things are waiting for us in eternity someday. And no, this world isn't your home. I'm like Job. I would not live always. I don't want to find the fountain of youth and live under the sun. No, I'm looking forward to a better place than this. As good as this meeting was, heaven is going to be a lot better.
Amen.
He's given us the best friends anyone could ever ask for. It'd be mighty lonely if you're the only one that believed in sovereign grace. Isn't it good to believe it with other people?
Amen.
And to talk about it, the fellowship with it, as we say, the hard shell, and hear what others think, learn from each other, and to have the prayers of the saints and the love. My dad, he can't preach a sermon without saying about the love that flows from breast to breast. Says that every sermon, and I heard it so much I didn't know what he meant. And then finally, I got it one of these days. Amen and amen. You can't describe it. You try to tell people about going to the Primitive Baptist Church. And I think a lot of times we talk about what we don't have instead of what we do have. I've got people that love me in spite of me. I've got people that know me well and they still love me. That's amazing to me. I've got people that pray for me. I talked about when I was out of work last year. I can't not tell you how many phone calls and email and letters and cards I got from people. Brother David, I'm praying for you. To know that one saint is on their knees praying for me. Got a letter from a church in California I've only been to one time. And they wrote me a letter, Brother David, we mention you in prayer every Sunday. Wow. I don't deserve that. But I'm sure thank God for it. The Lord has blessed us with this. He's been good to us. What have we done for Him? What have I done for Him? Here they fixed Him a meal. That's a nice thing to do. Last night, Sister Janice fixed a meal for us. She's getting nervous right now. She fixed a salad and she put what I would call fajita meat on top of it. Now that's against the law in the state of Texas to do that. People in jail right now for misusing fajita meat, putting it on a salad. I'm not going to tell anybody when I get home about this. I was wondering about that. She didn't ask me, Brother David, do you want me to do this with this fajita meat? She could have put it on the side. No, she just assumed. Get nervous yet? I sat down and they put it in front of me and I was kind of like the wheels were turning. Okay, I guess I need to put that on a fork and eat this. I'm going to make a good show of this here. I tell you what, sister, that was one of the best meals I ever ate in my life. It touched me that you would do that for me. She went to the grocery store. She made the salad dressing by hand. Put a lot of care into it. I don't think she'd have done all that for Brother Steve, but she did it for me. It made me feel good. It made me feel wonderful. I'll never forget the first time my beloved wife, when we were courting, she lived 10 hours from me. It's long distance courtship. And I was going to go up there and going to pick her up and drive up to her parents' house. And she said to us, "I'm going to tarry a little bit at my place because I want to make you a dinner. Make you supper." Well, I didn't know what was going to happen with that. I'd never tried her cooking and stop by. And I just didn't know what was going to transpire. And I don't know. She made me this roast chicken and the new potatoes and the green beans. It touched me that she would do that for me. I knew she loved me. I knew she loved me before she did that, but that was a proof. My friends, what have we done for the Lord? There they made him a supper. They made him a supper. Here he is just about to go to the cross. And he stops at this family that he loved, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We read that Martha served. There once was a time that Martha was upset about serving. Not so much about serving, but that her younger sister, Mary, wasn't helping. We read that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he had to say. And Mary was upset about that, and she asked the Lord to reprove Mary and said, "You bid her to come in and help me. I'm cumbered about with much serving." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, what have I to do with thee? Mary hath chosen the good part." Martha gets a lot of bad press sometimes for that incident. I have a lot of sympathy for Martha. I know what it's like to entertain a whole lot of people at the house. Growing up in a minister's family, I've seen my mother just spend all day cooking. And there were 8 creatures in the living room, and not one of them was grumping that she wasn't there listening to them, all these pearls of wisdom coming, because when the dinner bell rang, they were excited about that. And so they were glad that she was a Martha then. My friends, as I like to say, we all need to be a Martha at some times. But when it's time to be a Mary, we need to leave those pots and pans and listen to the word of the Lord. So the church needs Martha. The church needs a Mary. We read that Lazarus sat at the table. Well, what was Lazarus doing? What was his role in all this? Well, a few pages earlier, we read that Lazarus had died and had been in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus came and called his name and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus arose from the grave and he was alive. You know what Lazarus was doing? He was just showing out that he was alive. That's what we ought to do. My friends, we've been born again.
Amen.
We were quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And there was a time in your existence that you were dead, but you're alive through Christ. And you ought to just show it. You ought to prove it to the world. You ought to be like a Lazarus. Lazarus is just preaching a sermon of regeneration, saying, "I'm alive." Your life is a sermon. These sisters are going to preach a sermon. Y'all didn't know y'all were called to preach. You're going to preach to me today. You're going to preach to me of the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
You go down in that water and you come up, you're saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose for my justification." That's the best sermon you'll ever hear.
Amen.
I mean, my friends, just because you don't have elder by your name, does that mean you're not a preacher or that you don't have a ministry or a sermon to preach to other people? When you were baptized, that's a sermon that you're preaching. In communion, that's a sermon. When you pray for each other, that's a sermon. When you cook a meal for each other, that's a sermon. We read that Mary, she came along And the scriptures tell us in verse 3 that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary knew something that nobody else knew. She understood something. And she understood what Jesus was about to do. He was about to go to the cross and die for her sins. And she is honoring Him for that sacrifice. But you know, my friends, you can make a great sacrifice. You can try ever so hard. You can try to be what you're supposed to be in the church. And not everybody is going to understand.
That's right.
Not everybody's going to appreciate you. When I was ordained, Elder J.A. Rao came to me and he said, "I got some bad news for you, son." I said, "What is it, brother?" And he says, "Not everybody's going to like you." And he was right. Not everybody likes you. We're all supposed to love one another. You know, it's easier to love somebody than to like them. You be with me for a while, you probably would end up not liking me as much as you do right now. So it's a good thing I'm getting on a plane this afternoon. But not everybody is going to appreciate the things that you do, even though that you're doing what's right and you're doing what's in your heart and what the Lord has told you to do. Don't let that distract you.
Amen.
Don't let that stop you. We read that Judas Iscariot had an issue with what Mary did. He said, "Why was not this sold and given to the poor? It would have cost 300 pence, which was an average year's salary at that time." What a sacrifice Mary was making. Have you ever wrote a check out to the church for a year's salary?
Yeah.
I haven't. Don't plan on doing it today either. How about any of you? You ever felt that led to do that much? That's what Mary did. And yet she was criticized. She was criticized for it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." She sees what He's about to do, and she is honoring Him for doing it. In my way of putting it, she's giving Him flowers before the funeral.
That's right. Amen.
Amen to that. You know, no one has ever bought me flowers. I can cry a river right now. I've never had anybody buy me a flower. I mean, not even a rose. Not even a single rose. My children, when they were young, would go out and they'd pick the wild flowers. And I'd meet them at the door and I was the invisible man. Bring them all to their mother. I still have hurt feelings about that. One of these days, a lot of folks are going to buy me flowers. Man, they're just going to lay the room out, buy me flowers. And I'm going to be dead. You know what I'm saying? They're going to buy me a lot of flowers and I'm not even going to be there to enjoy it. I'm not asking you to buy me flowers. Please don't. But what I'm saying is this. Don't wait till it's too late to do something for somebody else. I've preached a lot of funerals where I've seen tears of grief because these people waited too long to bury a grudge. They waited too long to go see them in the nursing home. They waited too long to send them a Mother's Day card. They waited too late to call them on the phone. I've seen that so many times. My friends, the family and friends you've got are a blessing of the Lord. Appreciate what the Lord has blessed you with right now. Too many times we look for what we don't have or what we want and not of the things that we have. Look where you are right now, as I said the other night. We're all in a good place. We ought to be very thankful for where we are today. Against the day of my burying has she done this. If you look in the account of Matthew, of this incident. You see some other things that are interesting that we didn't have before. In Matthew chapter 26, we'll pick up the same story from Matthew's account. Matthew 26, verse 6, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper." There's a bit of information that John doesn't tell us. He was in this man's house, I believe, whom he had cleansed from leprosy. Verse 7, "Then there came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." There's another thing that we don't have. In John's account, he tells us that she anointed the feet of Jesus. Matthew says she anointed the head of Jesus. Well, who's right? They're both right. You see, the way I see it is this. She started at his head and anointed his head, and then she went down and anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. My beloved, that is our experience with Jesus Christ. We need to see Him as the head of all things. Amen. And when you see Him as that, then you wind up at His feet, worshiping Him. Amen. Down at the feet of Jesus, I kneel in humble prayer. You need to see Him as the head of your life. The head of this church. The head of this nation. My beloved, when you see Him as that, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I say fall down at His feet and thank Him for everything that He's done. She anointed His head with that ointment. Verse 8, "But then when His disciples saw, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" We read in Matthew that every of the apostles were talking against her, not just Judas, as John claimed, but in Matthew said, we were all criticizing her, Matthew included. But yet, she continued on. They said, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus understood it, He said unto them, 'Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. For in this she hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial.'" My beloved, let us worship the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Let us honor Him right now. Let us acknowledge Him as the head. Let us fall down at His feet. And let us give Him the praise that is due to His name. My friends, I've never been satisfied with my praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I look forward to is that song that we sing, "When I see Thee as Thou art, I'll praise Thee as I ought." I'm looking forward to that day. We all made a sacrifice in coming here today. Probably got up a little earlier than usual. You had to get on the highway. Maybe you may have prepared a meal to bring today. Let me ask you a question. Was it worth it? Are you glad you did? How many of you are sitting here right now, "But yeah, Brother Dave, but I could be doing this and I could be doing that and I..." Oh, I know you could be doing that. You want to hear what I could be doing right now? Sure. Yeah. But I'm here, and I tell you what, thank the Lord I'm here. Amen. Thank the Lord you're here. And thank the Lord He's here. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? My friends, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" What a privilege, what a pleasure, what a thing that He's given us that we could enter into His house and to thank Him for what He's done. She's bought me flowers before the funeral. If you want to be baptized, right now is a good time.
Amen.
They've already got the water ready. It's not too cold, sisters. I baptized in colder weather than you're about to. I mean, colder water and colder weather. You want to? I can tell you some stories. But now's a good time. I was preaching in the state of California one time. And I stopped. Well, maybe I ought to start saying this again. I said, "If you folks want a short sermon, come down and join the church right now. I'll quit preaching." I said, "I mean it. I'll quit preaching. If you join the church right now," all of a sudden the congregation just went, and I looked down, and there was a young lady right there. She joined the church right then. You know what? I stopped preaching. What a way to end the sermon. She was baptized that afternoon. What a day that was. Saw her just a few months ago. She's still in the church, still worshiping the Lord. I said, why did you wait till my sermon to do it? She says, well, I just wanted to see if you were serious. And she says, no. And this taught me a great lesson. She says, there have been times that I wanted to join, but the preacher just kept on preaching. And the feeling would pass. That's a lesson for us ministers, brethren. A lot of times, we just on a spiritual high, I just got to get one more amen. No, I tell you what, let the Lord tell you when to quit.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this much, my beloved, when the Lord tells you to come down, you come on down.
Amen.
Don't wait like I did 4 years. Don't put it off. I could have had 4 years in the church, but I put it off and spent 4 years in agony, just wanting to do it, but just couldn't do it. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I know I've got to do this one thing. And I've been so thankful. I'm so thankful that I did. I've made many mistakes in my life. I've done a lot of things that I don't want you to know about me. But I'll tell you this, I know I've done one thing right. That I came and I joined the old Baptist church.
Amen.
And my beloved friends, that is something that you're always enjoy. You always go back to that day and remember how wonderful it was. And what a day we have here at Columbia. We'll have the two ordinances of the church back to back. We're going to have a communion and then a baptism.
Amen.
How about that? Does that work for y'all? Maybe that's too busy a Sunday, don't you think? Which one do we want to cut out? I'll just get baptized next week. How about that? We don't need to have all that going on. Too much. No, I tell you what, thank the good Lord.
Amen.
She bought him flowers before the funeral. And then he said this, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. My friends, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. You are seeing a fulfillment of prophecy right now.
Amen.
Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, they will tell the story of Mary of Bethany and what she did. And it's being told right now.
Amen.
You ever want to see prophecy fulfilled? You're seeing it right now. That ought to make you feel good. That ought to make you feel special. That ought to make you feel very thankful.
Amen.
Now you could be saying, well, Brother Montgomery, if the Lord was here, well, I would certainly do something like that. I would certainly do what she did. I would too. I'll join you. I'll amen you. I'll second that. Let's all go wash his feet. Let's all anoint his head. Amen. We'll go do something like that. But you say, but he's not here. We can't do it. We can't do it like Mary did. So what do we got? We don't have the same. I beg to differ with you, my friend. We have it just as good as Mary did. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, the Lord is speaking the sermon, the preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about when he comes in glory, that he'll divide the sheep from the goats, and he'll say to the sheep, come in, ye blessed of the Father. He says, for I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And other things that he said. And they said, Lord, when? When did we do these things unto thee? When did we give you food? When did we give you clothes? When did we give you to drink? When did we take you in? And he says, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. My friends, when you wash your brother's or your sister's feet, that is just like washing the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Now how about this? And when they wash your feet, that is the Lord Jesus washing your feet. I'm like Peter, Lord, I'm not worthy. I know I'm not. Jesus says, suffer it to be so. I'm going to do it anyway. Because you're mine. You're bought with a price. And this is a token of my love to you. My beloved, we have that opportunity in just a few minutes. Growing up in the old Baptist church, I watched a lot of communions and feet washing in my life. Feet washing always really got to me, though. In a negative way, I'll confess. I thought, you know, why can't they just wash each other's hands? That'd be a lot easier. That'd be a lot better. Feet are kind of yucky, you know. I don't want to do that. That's just not me. I didn't understand. You see, that's exactly what the Lord wants. He wants that reaction out of us. Peter had that reaction. He was offended that the Lord was about to do this. But the Lord picked that because He knows what we need. We need to humble ourselves. You have to get down on your knees. You have to touch one another's, maybe in their feet, not the most attractive of all bodily parts, but we have to do it. And we have to get over ourselves and swallow our pride, leave it behind, and think about, this is what Jesus did for me. He came from heaven to this sin-cursed earth to die for my sins. Who am I? What kind of prideful individual am I to think myself to be too good for this? My beloved, we need it. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye. What? If you do them. If you do them. The happiness is not in the knowing. It's in the doing. Insomuch, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. So right now, we can be a Mary. We can be Mary. We can do what she did. We can be a Martha. We can serve. And we can be a Lazarus. We're alive in Jesus Christ. And doing this nice thing to each other. May the Lord richly bless you here at Columbia. Y'all are in my heart. You're in my prayers. I love you very much. I've had some good times with you. Look forward to some more good times. If I don't ever meet with you here at Columbia, Maryland, I'll meet with you in a better place than this.
Amen.
And we'll meet in paradise.
Amen.
And we'll continue this meeting up there in heaven forever and ever. That sounds good to me, don't you?
Amen.
May the Lord hasten that day. May the Lord bless you. Come ahead, Brother Steve.